This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters. Both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger, inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Yeah, Taryn's back to give you deeds again. He's digging deep on Survivor to find you everything you need. So if your life is packed, let Taryn and his friends break down the episode beyond what the casual see.
Taryn's update for Survivor.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the RHAP Survivor Stockwatch podcast. I almost didn't know what to call it there, but I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and I am here today with Grace. How are you doing, Grace?
I'm doing great. Happy to talk Survivor. This will be fun. Yeah. Some players. Yeah.
Yes, we are here to talk through episode 5.
The name of the pod, the number of the episode.
This is right? A classic Survivor Stockwatch podcast intro where I don't know what to call it. And also, I don't remember what number episode we're on. But I believe we're on episode 5 and we're going to talk about it. And we're going to rate the players based on how well we think they're doing in the game. And that's about how seriously you should take our ratings, considering the fact that I barely remember what episode we're on. So let's have fun with it.
That's right.
I thought this was a fine episode. I feel like for me the season started strong. Great elongated first couple of episodes. And then I don't know. I've been feeling like it's been getting a little repetitive to me that the formula that's been going.
Yeah, we're gonna have someone's gonna try and get some beads from their other tribe members, and then we'll have a challenge, and then we'll do a risker or not risk, and then a pretty straightforward vote, I feel like, that feels pretty telegraphed. I mean, I guess I haven't felt exactly that way the last week. I wasn't exactly sure Lindsay was going to go home last week, but this week when you have Ryan being like, and Cassie's torch will be snuffed, you're like, well, she's absolutely not going home. So I guess it's whether it's you or Gio. I don't think it's going to be you. So I think it's Gio, unfortunately. So yeah, I would agree. This was a fine episode. I feel like we are, we're spinning our wheels a tad at the moment.
Yeah. And you know, I guess small spoilers from the next time on, if you don't like to watch that, you know, tune out for the next like 30 to 60 seconds or whatever, but we're getting a merge preview in the next episode. So, or the preview is for the merge, at least, whether it's like the real merge or the fake merge or whatever the merge is going to be. So I think that's a good thing. I think that we need to get out of these tribes.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I know Rob went on a big rant about like no more three tribes. Well, at least we won't be, or at least we won't have three tribes this week anymore. So yeah.
There you go. So we got a couple of interesting things strategically. Obviously, we'll talk about the Coco tribe, I believe. And the blue tribe. And the fallout from the previous vote, we saw that they voted out Lindsay. Primarily due to her own paranoia, it seems. They really like doubled down on that in the beginning of this episode. They talked about like, yeah, we were going to do Geo. Man, just Lindsay just pooched it up out of nowhere. I was like, how did you know about pooching? She pooched herself.
Evidence that all these shows are fake and filmed at different times. It's true. I was really excited for Lindsay coming into this season. I was really disappointed to see Lindsay go and sort of the paranoia thing, because I thought that she, like, it's hard to tell out there whether she had the same amount of paranoia that people normally would, before you go to your first vote. And I felt like if you just go and you vote with Lindsay, all of her paranoia goes away. It's like, oh, right. Geez, finally, we did it. We voted together. Like, it's the first time. Now I can trust you all. But that's not what happened. And I actually, I think it's totally fine. Carla is clearly set up in a very good spot in this game. And I don't think it matters whether Lindsay went last time or Gio went last time, because by the end of this episode, they're both gone. So.
Yeah, I don't agree with how Cassidy is ultimately going to handle the vote switch from Ryan to Geo. However, when Carla and James are talking about Cassidy's getting all paranoid, she's pulling a Lindsay. There was a part of me that was like, all right, at some point, it's not them and it's you. Right. Like at some point, like you are clearly not doing a good job of making people feel comfortable and they're feeling very paranoid. And maybe there's something that you're doing that's making this happen.
Yeah, that could be true. That I worry a little bit for Carla in the sense of like Shan, a sort of Shan pre-merge breakout that doesn't really end up going anywhere in the post-merge is something I could see if sort of she's this tenuous with a lot of her relationships. It really does seem like Carla and James are the tightest pair on that tribe, maybe even the tightest pair overall, like anywhere on the island, which actually, again, I don't know if that's a good thing. I don't know if it would be a good thing that they come into the merge and they're so tight. Which tribes helped each other last week? That didn't come up at all.
The red tribe and the yellow tribe. The red tribe helped the yellow tribe. So Vessi helped.
Yeah, right. And so that feels bad too. And I know they just went to a second tribal council back to back, but that still feels like they're on the outs. And if they're so perceived as being so close, that actually worries me even more.
Yeah, and they just blindsided, one of the four people in their tribe.
Yes.
Not great.
Yes. Brutal. Yeah, because I was thinking with this, I didn't actually watch it's the one time I didn't watch the next time. Here it is. But I was thinking through this effort, like, ultimately, I think that this move is slightly better than voting out Cassidy, because it doesn't set up if they stay in these tribes, doesn't set up a two versus two, which with Geo and Ryan against Carla and James. I think that's better. I'm also just happy that like a woman didn't get voted out this week. That's a nice relief. That's a nice thing. Unfortunately, it happens to be one of the LGBT.
Yeah, I was going to say.
this happens the two times I've been on the Stockwatch, an LGBTQ character has gone home, Taryn. So,
okay, we need to stop booking you for the Stockwatch.
Well, at all. I think, yeah, I'll just, I won't come on, and then an LGBTQ character will win the show. So that'll be great. Ultimately, I think it is, it's the debate of like whether it was, you could have had a unanimous vote. You could have voted out Cassidy, and it would have been 4-1. Or that sets up a 2-2 if you have to go to tribal council again, or do you risk blindsiding Ryan, which they choose to do, which sort of seeing where things might be going feels not great.
Yeah, I mean, for me, this was sort of, the result of what I thought was a mistake last week, which is that, like, I didn't really agree with the call to vote out Lindsay. Like, sure, she was paranoid. I don't know the extent of her paranoia. Maybe she was much worse than even we saw. Or whatever the case may be. But I think to your point earlier, if you vote with her, like this is usually what happens. before the first vote. You don't really know where you stand until you get the confirmation at Tribal that yes, you are voting together. And I just feel like if you vote with Lindsay, you pull her in, you make her feel like, yes, we were with you the whole time. Gio leaves. If you lose again, which you probably don't because Ryan probably doesn't throw the next challenge.
I have questions about Ryan throwing the challenge.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
But even if you do, you can just vote Ryan out. And now you still have a solid, core four of people. And even if Lindsay is a little flaky, that's still better than the four they have now where they just blindsided Ryan. So I just feel like that was just straight up the better call. Not to mention the fact that they could have, if they had slipped up in any way, found themselves in a 2v2 or 2v3 situation where maybe Gio goes to that advantage, island and gets another steal a vote like Noelle did. And now all of a sudden, if they realize they need to use it, they can turn the tables on you because they still have two people in the game that are working closely together. And it does put you in the situation where you kind of have to vote one of them out in order to prepare for a potential 2v2 once you get to four. I just felt like there were a lot of different reasons for them to not make that move. But they did.
So I agree, but we're in this, they voted out Lindsay. So now you're stuck in the situation. I mean, the other reason, the risk here of voting out Gio, which is exactly what Cassidy says, is that, well, Gio might come back with something. And he does come back with something. It's not particularly useful to him at this point in the game. And I don't know, I kind of also love just being like, oh, you have that thing? No, I don't think so. I don't think you get to keep that thing. I think I'm going to vote you out now. I love that. I don't know if it's the right move, per se. I think it probably is, because if you vote out Ryan here, the Geo's burned and Geo's the one with the advantage. And if he figures out that you have an idol. So it is right. So that's kind of fun that Carla was the person that Gio comes running back to with this information. And then she's like, okay, well, I'm going to send you home. And none of this, I think we had seen kind of in two previous seasons is a little bit of trying to really try to figure it out and game it. And it's been really fun of like, can I have your knowledge as power and then I'll vote you out? didn't try that at all. Just like a clean, simple, let's just get this thing out of the game. Let's just get rid of it. Let's burn it.
Yeah, I mean, I maybe buried the lead a little bit here in that I think this is, for me, I'm dropping the hammer on a lot of players in this stock watch rating. Like, I felt like this episode was chock full of just weird decisions and poor play from the perspective of somebody watching an edited TV show. On the Coco tribe alone, it felt like a race to the bottom. It felt like people were falling over themselves to no, I'm going to be voted out. No, I'm going to be voted out.
Only Ryan saying it publicly.
Right. There's literally actually doing that.
He couldn't even do it. It's
just some wild turn of events here. Ryan supposedly throwing the immunity challenge. I personally, I tend to just believe people at their word for the most part when they say things like this. But I can see why I think some people would be a little skeptical.
I think that, and it's partially that the edit, I think, screws him over a little bit. And then he never says, I'm going to throw this challenge. The only evidence we have that he threw the challenge comes after the challenge in which he did knock off his own balls, potentially purposely. I think I'm not saying he threw the challenge. I'm saying I don't think we have enough evidence to know whether he did or did not throw the challenge. Ryan, when the season's over, just tell us, because I guess he's not going to tell us.
Here's the thing. I think he has a lot more reason right now to say, no, I was actually lying and I didn't throw the challenge, because he looks way worse having thrown the challenge.
Right. Yes, and that the plan did not come to fruition.
Right. So if he holds to his story and says, no, I really did throw that challenge, I would believe him at that point for sure.
Okay, that's fair. I'll also believe him then.
Because, I mean, man, here's another reason why I think it is totally possible that he threw it. Or at the very least, like, when in losing was like, okay, no, I'm going to turn this into something incredible, is that his performance when he gets back to camp, where he's talking to Cassidy and he's like,
yeah,
I know it's me, What do you mean? Why is it you?
Ah, well, you know,
the energy has changed.
No, well, I'm not going to vote for you. I want to keep you here.
Oh, no. You should vote me out. I don't want you to be on the wrong side of the vote, person that I clearly don't have a good game relationship with.
Yeah, I really wanted Ryan. I really like Ryan. I'm happy that he stayed. It would have made for some incredible TV for him to be like, don't strategize with me. Don't talk to me. I'm going to go be sad. I'm going to go over there. Like, really hammer. Like, stop. What is the name of this episode? We need to stop with the niceness. When he, like, compliments him for chomping down the trees. Like, don't stop complimenting me. The energy has to be negative around here. We need bad vibes only. It would have been really incredible TV for him to have been voted out.
I agree. I think that, you know, I said that the second he said I threw this challenge, I was like, it has to be him. Come on. It has to be him. But I feel like the blind side after it's, you know, I feel like it still works. Maybe it's not like not quite like your Zane Knight or something like that. But, you know, I think it's close enough.
Good and for yeah. Ryan that he doesn't, like, I'm not Zane Knight.
But yeah, I forgot about that too. He literally says, don't strategize with me. Don't talk to me.
Yeah.
Like, you just supposedly threw this challenge so that you could get out Cassidy, and you don't want to make sure that you're like checking in with everyone like before the vote. Like, you're like, this is the complete opposite of how you want to be acting prior to a vote. Is like, don't even talk to me. Don't even look at me. Don't even do it. Just like act like you're totally going to vote me out. It's like, okay.
Yeah, I don't, not that I could do this any better, but I think that there's like a level at which it feels really obvious that you're like playing, you're doing this thing. You're playing this. And I think it is the moment where he's like, no, you have to vote for me. You have to, you know, just in case, you know, so you're not on the out. So it's so silly, especially that like we know that like James has already dished the information to Cassie that like, Ryan told James to say Ryan's name. So he just feel bad for him in that moment. Like, stop saying that. Stop, just do something different. Because this one just feels too phony. It feels too fit. I mean, she was onto it immediately.
Even Jeff, I felt at Tribal, was like, Ryan, what are you doing?
I mean, and I think there's a sort of an archetype, unfortunately, that would fit this type of like, woe is me, shucks, I gotta go home character. And I think that this would work if you're like Heather from a few seasons ago. The fact that he's Ryan, he's a big jacked dude who like, they're like, you know, normally the story is like, yeah, I know I kind of screwed up, but like, you kind of need me for another challenge, you know? I don't think any of it really matches or works in this particular case.
Yeah. He has performed poorly in the previous immunity. He threw the balls bad, you know.
He's bad with balls. He's not a ball guy.
Balls. He's no Monty.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Then you have Gio, who is going to go to
Advantage Island. I actually feel like he played the Advantage Island decently. I think he did what you're supposed to do, which is like, yeah, I'm definitely going for the thing. Unlike though Noel, who is able to just like completely talk the other players into not risking, I feel like he just didn't get that far. Like, yes, you should be saying, look, I'm on the outs. I need this. Please don't risk your thing. We can make a deal. If I'm safe because of this advantage, then when we link up again, we'll be chill together. I feel like that's the play. I feel like he probably didn't go there. And because of that, they felt comfortable risking that they weren't, you know, taking anything from him necessarily. I also felt though that that the way that Janine and Jesse handled this was also kind of not ideal. You, in my opinion, yeah, should never risk it without saying you're going to first.
Right? Yeah, I think I agree. If like, yeah, put your cards on the table. I think this is surprising. Like Gabler does this, right? Of like, I'm definitely risking. I think this is the first episode where two of them end up risking. Him and Dwight, Gabler ends up getting it, and Dwight goes back with nothing. And I think I agree. I think you have to, especially when, if there's one person who's so adamantly saying it, it only hurts. The only thing that it didn't really come up this episode at all. And the piece I was thinking about with throwing the challenge as well, of how much was in Ryan's mind that Coco was the biggest sort of like, oh, we have to get them out. This, the other two tribes against mm-hmm. him, that throwing another challenge and coming in knowing you're going to have four, you're at least tied mm-hmm. for the least number of players. Does that just like lessen, especially him being the person for center? This never comes up. This is all just me overthinking this whole thing. He's sort of the biggest threat of potentially the tribe with the biggest threat level, right? Coming in. And so whether that had to do with anything. And so, but I also wonder with that idea of Coco being the big threat, even at this point where they know they're going to lose another member. The last, so these are the other two people from other tribes who said, you were like publicly against you. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it felt like there was a lot left out of that conversation. I felt like, seemingly for an episode, I felt like not a lot happened. We didn't get a ton. It felt like a lot was left on the cutting room floor. So
I felt that way for the last couple of episodes, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, I think that that was my first thought when Ryan said he threw it. I was like, oh, does he maybe think it'll be like, is he intentionally Matt singing? Like, is he thinking like, I got to get the numbers down so we're not such a right. big target heading into the merge? And then he started saying to Cassidy, no, please vote me out.
Right.
And I was like, maybe we weren't there. Maybe that's not what the thought process was.
I think to your point, I don't really have any reason why Jesse and Jeannie both, other than they're both kind of were in this mentality that was like, you have to risk it when you go. Like, I think it was very surprising for Carla in a previous episode to like find the Beware advantage and be like, I'm going to put it back actually. Mm. And then obviously later has this thing of like, no, you have to risk it. That's like such of the mentality of Survivor that I do wonder whether Gio was just in a situation where he was never going to convince it. If you get the right people, I guess in his case, the wrong people, on Risk Rock Island or whatever. Why did they make them bad? It's so silly. Whatever. That there are certain people you're going to end up with who will always risk their vote, because that's the mentality of survivors. Like always risking, playing big moves, going for it. That I agree. They should have just said it. But there, you know, again, there was so much left out that I wonder what, like, if Jeannie and Jesse are like have anything.
Mean, it's possible that they did say it. I just feel like, you know, we didn't see them say anything. I just feel like there's never any reason to not say that you're going to risk your vote if you plan to, because everyone's going to find out in right. 2 seconds anyway. So it's not like, oh, well, I'll trick them into thinking I'm not going to risk my vote. That only encourages them to risk their vote. You want people to think you're going to risk your vote as much as possible under all circumstances. And then you can choose not to if you don't want to. But you should, like, if you plan to do it, you should tell people, listen, I'm sorry. I know you're on the outs. I know you might need this, but I'm also, I need this too. And I'm going to risk my vote. And hey, best case scenario, you call their bluff and they go, crap, if I'm not the only person risking, I actually don't want to risk. Worst case scenario, you've at least not blindsided them by risking when you pretended like you weren't going to. Right. So I just feel like no point not doing it. Especially now, you know, they're both kind of in key spots where they might need this vote. Like Jesse left super vulnerable on his tribe if he doesn't have his vote. And Janine doesn't know it, but super vulnerable on her tribe as well. Now, we kind of know this is probably not going to matter at this point, but definitely risky business to be risking to vote.
It does matter a lot. I mean, there's a lot of things going into next episode.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I forgot that, like, yeah, even if they do merge, like, it's still huge.
Yeah. I think Janine, I think she was probably, but better than Jesse, certainly, in terms of, like, being in a position to risk your vote, especially having found the wear advantage and have gotten all the beads before she left. That's a pretty big episode for her if she ends up with both the beware advantage and the knowledge is power advantage. So I don't know. She's in a bad spot, but also I don't think she's in. I guess she's not in a great spot. I don't really think that anybody on Yellow Tribe is in a great spot.
If that tribe goes to tribal again, I mean, I think at this point, given that Janine doesn't have a vote, I think Ellie is just straight up gone. I don't think there's any way around that. Janine's obviously safe if she has her idol and she knows to play it. But I just had the thought, has this come up yet that if Janine had not gotten the beads yet and didn't have a vote when she goes to Advantage Island, is she capable of risking her vote at that point?
Oh, that's really interesting.
She doesn't have a vote to risk.
Is it like a legacy that like you, there's an, yeah, I don't know.
You go
I don't
into
know.
Vote debt?
Yeah, you owe a vote, I think, at some point. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there an interest rate on your vote loan?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. That's a really great question. There's some other mechanics that are in the game that's like, somebody has a steal a vote. So, what if someone doesn't have a vote and they try to steal their vote? What happens? What do they do? Is Jeff like, they actually don't have a vote. Probably that's what happens, right? Jeff is like, they don't have a vote.
I feel like that's got to be the way. Vote. Yeah.
There are these things where it's like, actually, now I have to make this all public. Like, you made me spill all the dirty laundry. I'm sorry. Is that the right phrase? I don't know. Right. Spill the dirty laundry, air the dirty laundry.
Air the dirty laundry. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like you want to air dirty laundry, though, right? You don't want to keep it unaired.
That's right. Yeah, it's not Jeff's laundry though to be aired. You know,
I just imagine Jeff has just like a room in his house that just pile. He just throws the shirt that he wears all season into.
He never wears the same.
There's 43 of them now. So ultimately though, Gio is going to get the advantage. It is the knowledge is power advantage. He is going to open it up with Carla, the person who currently plans to blindside his ally and or him, and was going to vote him out in the previous tribal. If not for a last minute change, he still has not seen through it and decides to open this advantage with her there. He says, "Oh, cool. The knowledge is power advantage. I've seen this before. No one's been able to use it successfully so far. I'm going to be the first." It's like, yeah, the reason nobody's used it successfully so far is because everyone tells everyone about it. And you just told Carla, the person who plans to now vote you out, because you have it.
I know. It's a little disappointing, too. I'm wondering if they'll rehide this thing and they'll put it back in circulation, because I said this the first time it got used and the way it got blocked, essentially. And the reason it was fun is because some kind of the two people who were involved in the situation both knew that it existed and how it worked. And so they were able to sort of play defense on it. And I was kind of excited for this to come in and be the first season where everybody assumes at some point the knowledge is power advantage is going to be in the game. And you have to be wary of it. And so you know how it works. You just don't know exactly where it might be, who might have it. This idea that I don't mind twists as long as everybody, you know, knows the rules. This is my like biggest, you know, thing that I need Survivor to fix. Is just, you know, it'd be like playing a board game, Darren, and then I keep half the rules. And then later when the rule comes into play, I'm like, oh, there's actually another rule book, Darren, that you didn't know about, right? Everybody should be playing under the same rule book the whole time. And so I was excited for this to see if it can work in this double, you know, the double and triple bluffing of like, where do we put our idol to make sure that we don't get like knowledge is powered. And then it immediately goes out the same episode it came in.
If Carla is smart, she should not tell anybody that they voted this out.
It's because, almost like knowledge is power. You shouldn't give knowledge to other players.
Because you have to assume, and it's not a guarantee, because it's not like all the players are like the most savvy players in the world necessarily, as we've seen in this episode. But if you are Janine or Cody and you watched the previous two seasons and you know that Knowledge is Power could be out there, you come to a merge scenario. As soon as you get there, you have to assume everyone's going to know that the people that took the beads have an idol. And that means you are very vulnerable to a Knowledge is Power strike, which means you should probably consider at least handing the idol off to somebody else so that it can't be stolen from you. But that also, of course, comes with its own risks. For example, Janine and Ellie seem to trust Sammy more than Owen. If they give their idol to Sammy,
right.
I think that's bad news for them. And so, you know, there's some interesting stuff that comes into play. If they're thinking on that level, I'm not sure that they would be, but why not? Why not just like leave it a mystery to see if they would?
Gosh, that's so fun. But then it will never matter, right? Because I guess other than Sam, because it will depend on, I guess, like if Sammy has it, like, does he have to give it back technically, right? Like, because there's no Knowledge is Power. So then once the votes are cast and it's like, okay, time to play your idol, he'd be like, okay, Sammy, I'd like my idol back. Whether or not he has to give it.
He can be like, what idol?
See, and then there's all this stuff like, you can't lie in this game anymore.
Hey, you don't have the Knowledge is Power advantage. You can't make me tell the truth. I get to lie all I want.
Just be like, oh, I'm going to have to air out all this dirty laundry. Oh, I agree. I think it could, I think there's a chance that even though the Knowledge is Power advantage potentially, because I do still think there's a chance that it could come back in again. Like, they've never really done this with other advantages. Not off the top of my head, somebody... Well, who knows more about the survivor history? No, the me like idols. So it was a big thing of like it got replayed, it got rehidden.
Yeah.
Whether the Knowledge is Power is some Knowledge is Power advantage is something that they will want to recirculate back in the game. I think is something I think I could see them doing because it got just expelled immediately.
I feel like they probably won't because this came from such a specific place. Yeah. You know, at Advantage Island. And so, you know, they've been giving different, like, unique advantages out there. So I feel like this is probably it for the season. You know, I don't think they like tend to call audibles about, like, you know, they probably only plan to introduce one of these. And so they're like, oh, we lost it immediately. Let's substitute a different advantage we were going to throw in with this one. I feel like they probably won't do that. So I think this is probably it for Knowledge is Power.
I agree. And I think it's still interesting that it could have ramifications for some of the way people play the game moving forward. So
just continuing down the list of mistakes that I felt like people made in this episode. Mm-hmm. We have a whole scene in the beginning where Janine finds the beware advantage. And I'm like, oh, here we go. All right. And then she's talking to Ellie. And they're talking about how they can't tell Owen about this. They don't trust Owen.
Yeah.
He's the one they need to avoid. And in my head, I've been thinking this whole tribe's layout is Janine and Ellie versus Sammy and Gabler with Owen in the middle. And they're saying Owen is the one we can't trust. And I'm immediately like, oh no, they are still way in the dark. And then they say, because our plan is that we're going to vote out Gabler. And I'm like, wait a minute, you can't vote out Gabler. He has an idol that expires at the next tribal council he goes to. And they go, because he doesn't even know that his idol lasts that long. Yeah. I'm like, oh, you're still on this? Oh, geez, you're so in the dark.
I feel so bad for Ellie and Janine here because this is a whole, these are so many things that just are wrong. It just doing things wrong and saying wrong things, which is like Owen shows up and they like, I feel like they totally freeze. Without,
Ellie's like we had no choice. Yeah, she's like, we had no choice but to tell him. And it's like, that's not what it looked like. It looked like you tried to not tell him.
Yeah, this woman, like, my hand was in the cookie jar. My mom never noticed it. Oh, shucks, my hand is in this cookie jar. She's like, I guess you now have your hand in the cookie jar. It felt like they ratted themselves out just having no ability to you know, improvise anything on the fly or hide it immediately.
Yeah, they, like, froze in the headlights, holding the notes. And then as he walked over, like, tried to put them away and then stood there awkwardly. And he was like, so...
Just drop like, it. What? Drop it behind the well. You're standing in front of the well. This is like, drop it, you know?
They just chuck it into the woods.
Yeah, there's so many things you could have done instead of, oh, this is in my hand.
I feel like what you need to do is just go to him and be like, oh my God, we just found this. Come here.
Come quick. Yeah.
Especially considering he is the swing vote here, according to what is being told to us.
And they get so lucky that he's like, so I could blow this whole thing up. But I actually think maybe my plan is to work with them, which I actually I was pretty high on Owen coming into the season and then felt like he really struggled out of the gate a fair bit. Mm-hmm. And was not, you know, and just not getting his feet in the room. I actually think this is a good a plan. I think these two are potentially better allies to have than Gabler and Sammy.
I agree. If he had made any social headway with them over the last five votes.
Okay, well, that's fair. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like if he wants to work with them, he should probably let them know at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he gives the beads. He gives the full beads. And he does the thing that I think is very helpful that some people have been doing, which is where they like publicly are like, you can have all the beads on my things to like try and get anybody to give some beads, you know? Yeah.
Then it goes from bad to worst because Ellie is going to tell Sammy before they even get the beads out from Gabler. Hey, I don't know if Janine wants me to do this yet.
This is not my information to tell.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Yeah.
But Janine found the beware advantage. She needs some beads. And this is like flirting with disaster, right? Because given that Sammy is going to tell Gabler after the beads are given, I couldn't get to you ahead of time. I have to imagine Sammy absolutely would have preferred to get to Gabler ahead of time. If he had the ability to, he would have gotten into Gabler's ear and said, no matter what they do, do not give them the beads. And that's just it. They're done. And Sammy gets no blood on his hands for it either. And Gabler gets to play it off like, oh no, I really just needed this for my daughter. And they're just out just like that. There's no reason to tell him, especially because you can't trust him. But even if you could trust him, there was no reason to tell him this unless you needed his help to get the beads, which clearly you didn't. You already had Owen, you had each other. So I just felt like this was, oh my God.
Yeah, this was rough because it feels a little bit like in the same way that Carla and James have, like are trying to make, you know, they didn't, I don't think they did a great job of making sure that Ryan felt safe. This is like they assumed that their relationship with Sammy was, that they're trying to sort of make sure that when they get rid of Gabler, which they can't do. This is the part, again, this is the part that doesn't make sense. Why would you tell Sammy? If, I mean, I think probably the idea might have been, oh, let's tell Sammy and we won't tell Owen. We'll convince Owen to give us the bead and we'll convince Gabler to give the bead. So only three of us will know. That's not as bad, but they've just totally misread that Sammy is with them at all.
Yeah. And I've been pretty skeptical of Sammy's long-term performance. And, you know, if we are about to hit a merge, we're going to see how Sammy handles a potential merge. And I still feel a little skeptical, but at this point I do have to say just like, all right, give him credit here. He has clearly snowed both Janine and Ellie into thinking he's with them. He obviously still has gate. Like he is clearly just running this tribe. Granted, they haven't gone to tribal, but like he is in the driver's seat here unequivocally.
Agreed. Can I tell you my favorite thing that Sammy has been doing, which is trying to convince everybody he's older than he actually is and then winning a challenge and be like, that's just like Chuck E. Cheese. It's like, Sammy, only children go to Chuck E. Cheese. Like, I'm 23. And then he does a dance that only people who are under 20 have seen on TikTok, you know, doing a specific dance. So I feel like he's
just a young 23.
He's blowing his cover a smidge, I think.
Well, here's the thing. If you are older than 23, you don't know that a 23-year-old would not know the 20-year-old dance.
That's true. I am actually, I'm 31 and I actually don't know the difference between what a 23-year-old would know and like a 19-year-old would know. Yeah. So that's fair. Yeah. The Chuck E. Cheese thing was just too good.
It was good. It was good.
Yeah.
And then really on the Vessi tribe, I felt like we really got nothing.
Nothing
but what we saw from Jesse. No update. I have to assume they've probably bonded a little bit. Maybe they've, you know, healed the wounds that have been created there. I feel like Vessi may actually be in one of the better spots moving into a potential merge, even though I didn't love their move to help out the Baka tribe in the previous episode because that put Baka in the middle. Baka is just such a mess. And Coco is now also pretty messy, that I do feel like Vessi could come out on top in terms of this three-shot format.
Yeah, I think the most interesting thing will be how cohesive does that group seem? And I think actually, like, weirdly, Jesse risking his vote might be a notch in their belt for that they might look like they are more fractured than I sort of perceive them to be. I don't know that any of them necessarily seems like they would be immediately ready to like vote out one of these other people. I feel like they're a group that will maintain pretty strong, at least for a few votes. And so it's just, I think, what sort of like image they can pull off in terms of, because if they feel like a really tight four, then that's bad news. But again, they're one of the smallest tribes, or one of two, you know, four person tribes heading in the next week. So yeah, we'll see. Yeah, we really get nothing. No.
Yeah, I did not agree with the decision to vote NECA out, in large part because I felt like they'd need to run perfect in order to be okay. If they had gone to tribal at any point, Jesse and Cody, I think, were at a disadvantage there because of the steal of vote. And best case scenario, they were probably in a 2-2 lock. And that just was not a good place to be. And they get rid of a very loyal ally. That said, I think that given that they have run perfect so far and that they probably are heading into Emerge, I think they're going to live through it. It's probably not going to be a mistake that ends their game in any way. I think they're probably going to be able to... I don't think this is a tribe that is at each other's throats in the same way that the other tribes might be. And I think that, again, if they were forced to go to tribal and vote one of each other out, that would potentially, you know, solidify a divide. But if they don't have to, then I think they're in a good place.
I think, interestingly, I was thinking the only knock, I think, against Cody is going and doing machete negotiations, that I feel like there might be some resentment. Right. I feel like by now it might have smoothed over. And the other piece of that is I was trying to look at the other tribes and think, well, is there somebody sort of this? I know that this has not been the archetype of the merge boot. The merge boot. I don't know where that came from. It's very late. But I feel like you have Ryan and Sammy who both sort of fit that as well. And so I think that mm-hmm. takes some heat off Cody as well. So I'm actually like sort of the most, if I was to like put money on who is not being voted out next week, it's somebody from Red.
Another thing I think we, just briefly before we get into the ratings, that we I think should address is that if you are heading into Emerge and you got an idol via one of these,
yes,
you know, public methods, granted, this one is less public. So it's theoretically possible that your bead thing is not the same thing as a different one. And so maybe you want to be a little more conservative. But I think in general, you have to be thinking about, okay, if I'm Cody and I'm on the Vessi tribe heading into Emerge, I should probably tell Noelle and Dwight about the beads and that I have the idol, because they're probably going to find out anyway from the other tribes once we get to the Emerge. And that could mess up the trust between us if I never tell them. And if I do tell them, then we collectively as a group cannot leak the information about who has it. You know, we can say, what, beads? Nobody asked for beads. We don't have an idol. Or we can be like, just, you know, whatever the case may be, right? Like, they can hide who has it. Whereas these other tribes, you know, if you're crafty enough, if say Carla doesn't tell Ryan that she has the idol through the beads, you know, Cody or Jesse or somebody from Vessi or somebody from any tribe can go to Ryan and be like, did anybody need any beads at any point? And he'd be like, that's weird that you ask. Carla asked me for some beads. Boom. Just like that. He doesn't even know he should hide it. And even if he did, he might not want to. There's, I think, a lot of reason to be thinking about, I should maybe tell people about this before we head into Emerge.
Yeah, I think the other person who could spill the beans on this is Gabler as well. I think feels like somebody who would just be like talking about the beads, and because Sammy revealed it, mm-hmm. he didn't tell him about it. The only thing about like being one tribe who's all on the same page about their story, I mean, the risk there, I think, is you basically, it's if two tribes traded beads, it's like the third tribe probably traded beads too. And then do you, again, this idea of my only worry about Vessi is coming in feeling like they're the most cohesive mm-hmm. group. I don't really feel like Coco has, I think Coco is probably second, that I feel like they could do some work with Ryan. We have to stick together. Yellow seems, they're not sticking together at all. I don't think there's any way that they come in and look, even look like a cohesive bunch. I do fear that, like, that situation where they were, that they thought Coco was going to be in, of being this sick, strong going in, even though it's a group of four, I feel like they could give off that impression. And so then if you're then, they say, there's no Beads shenanigans happening on our thing. It's like, well, that is not true. And you're all collectively hiding it. And you're all so clearly working together, is the only thing that I would like worry about. And so I think, I'm honestly really intrigued by how the Beads play out. I think it's, mm-hmm. it's different that I was a little like over the Bead collecting scenes yeah. that we got three episodes in the five episode pre-merge. But I am excited to see how it plays out moving forward now that everybody has the Beads and it's a thing that happened in the game.
How about this as a brief idea? If you're Vessi, and you're like, say, Dwight and Noelle, or maybe all three of Dwight, Noelle, and Cody, or maybe just one of them, somebody asks you about the Beads and you go, oh my God, yeah, Jesse asked for some Beads. He has an idol. Oh my God, I can't believe he would do that. I thought I could trust him. He's been lying to me this whole time. Or maybe it's like, I knew I couldn't trust that guy.
Is there also a Naneka? Naneka asked for Beads. Isn't that
interesting? Yeah, you could blame it on Naneka. But like, I think like you could also, knowing that it's not an actual big deal, you could use it as a method of pretending like there are cracks in your alliance. If that's what you want. Sometimes appearing like the most cohesive alliance is what you want to show off.
Because we're not breaking.
Come you want us. To give yeah. them, yeah, a solid group of four numbers to help them face off against the other group or whatever. So, I think there's a bunch of different ways that you can play it. I think that if you do discuss it with your tribe ahead of time, knowing that they're probably going to find out anyway, you can sort of discuss how you want to go about it, depending on the circumstances that appear in front of you. So it'll be interesting to see if anybody does that. And if they don't, what kind of damage it might do to their relationships.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of fun that could be had. And we say all this knowing that like, it might be
we'll
the
probably
weird,
see none of it.
And it's also the weird, it could be the weird fake merge thing. And so like they're not all voting or whatever. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Should we rate some players?
Let's rate them. Yeah.
All right. Here's an image of the players. It still has Lindsay in it because look, if I took Lindsay away, then it would be very uneven. And it would be like a weird, like, two lines of seven or something in order to make it even, which is just strange. They're also kind of in the tribe order here in rows. So let's go ahead and talk first about Coco, our tribe that went to tribal. And we can start with the latest one. Did I put them in order of how when they will be voted out? Maybe I did.
Oh,
who knows? Maybe I'm wow. seeing the future. Because Gio here, sorry, on the right, is, does that mean Gabler, Dwight, and Cassidy are going to be the final three?
Wow. Yeah, that's great. I love that.
Or maybe it'll be Cassidy, Carla, and James. Maybe that'll be it.
Yeah.
Gio is our eliminated player this week. And like Lindsay before him, I do have to be quite low on his performance in this episode. I feel like telling Carla about the advantage, opening it up in front of her. He basically signed his own, snuff warrant, I guess. really just like did not see this coming in any way, kind of caused his own vote out. I feel like I've got to go down to the one. I've got to do it. If you cause your own vote out, I'm going to give you a one. For the most part, I feel like there were a lot of different ways that this could have gone. He was going to be voted out in the previous episode. I can't believe he didn't see through the fact that they changed the vote at the last second. It's just no good.
We did not really talk about this, but the opening scene where, so I didn't think this was great from Cassidy to be like, so who voted for me? Mm. And then Gio's like, well, it was me. Okay, whatever. Admit to the vote. And he's like, did you vote for me? She's like, no. What did you think? Lindsay voted for herself? And he's like, oh, that's harsh. That's very harsh. What a pretty sick burn now. So yeah, gosh. The one thing for me that I'm trying to parse out is how much did Gio for sure send himself home? There's a scene where Carla and Cassidy are talking and Carla says, yeah, I'd vote out Ryan. And part of me says, like, that felt a little bit like, yeah, I'll tell you right now that you want to hear it, but then we'll go back and I'll actually convert with James and then we'll actually decide who's going to go home. And maybe I'm misreading Carla and Cassie's relationship there. So I don't know if they're, I kind of think Gio was it the whole time and I'm not sure what else he could do. I will agree with you that, like, not being able to see that last week, it felt like it could have been him. And then it's this week. I can't give him a one, but I'll give him a two.
That's fair. That's fair. For me, I was with you until we got the scene where it seemed like Carla and James were like, okay, we got to switch back because of this advantage thing, which might have been, again, a trick of the editing. Maybe they were just using that as the excuse that they had always planned to vote out Gio anyway. And that they were just like, oh, well, now we have this thing that gives us even more reason to do it. But either way, I think not great.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
One of the reasons why I felt like I had to go with the one is because if we're rating Ryan as well... I'm also giving Ryan a one this week. Throwing a challenge, suppose, mm-hmm. allegedly,
mm-hmm.
this abysmal performance of please vote me out to the person that you're trying to trick into thinking that you're not, you know, voting out. Telling people to not strategize with you. I mean, this absolutely would have been an all-time bad showing who also then gets himself voted out, if not for, seemingly, Gio coming back with the knowledge is power advantage and kind of like beating him to the punch of who gets voted out. I have to also give Ryan a one here.
Gosh, yeah. I was initially thinking one and I was like, maybe it's a two because like it could have been worse. He could have been voted out. It's pretty rough here on this one. I think I'm going to go two again because he could have been voted out. And again, it's not like in his control necessarily. It does feel like Gio plays worse than him. And so then I feel like if Gio played worse than him and I gave Gio a two, I can't give Ryan a one. So I'm gonna also give Ryan a two.
There you go. Next on the list, I would have Cassidy here. We didn't talk a lot about it. I mentioned I didn't love how she responded to the switchback to Gio. I didn't understand why she was putting up so much of a fight. You know, you're relying on Carla and James to vote with you. And I would say under normal circumstances, if your alliance is coming up to you and saying, listen, he's got this advantage. We need to vote out this advantage. This is a very good reason why it needs to be Gio and not Ryan. And I'm relying on their votes. I'm going to agree with them. I'm going to maybe offer like a little bit of pushback, but then I'm going to be like, you know what? If you guys feel strongly about this, I'm with you 100% because I don't want them to flip up on me. Given the context of them having just turned on Lindsay the previous vote, it is all the more vital, I think, that Cassidy does not put up a fight on this one. And it seemed like she was really putting up a lot of a fight on this for seemingly no reason. She was acting like it was a problem that she was the decoy vote because this advantage might cause her to be voted out. But we knew what the advantage was. I'm assuming they told her what the advantage was. It can't do anything unless he knows that he has an idol or that Carla has an idol, which she doesn't even know. And knows how to steal the idol. It just didn't make a lot of sense to me that she'd be worried about him having the knowledge of his power advantage and that coming back on her enough for her to be pushing so much. But at the end of the day,
especially this specific advantage. Yeah. No, they didn't turn her. I think it's sort of understandable. I think that I could see myself in the situation where you're in the majority, but it's not exactly going how you want it. And I think there could be this component of like, that's where I think the paranoia would start to hit of like, and it's not for something that's happening now. It's of like, what is my position moving forward if these two people are coming in out there together? But the to your point, it's sort of a moot point in terms of whether Ryan or Gio goes. And so if two people are so adamant that they want one over the other, I think that the really good players, and I think specifically, like, I think Carla and James, I think, are both particularly strong on this tribe. And I think Cassie is a step below them as this ranking is going to bear out. But that's almost a better position to be in. As I've been talking about, I mentioned earlier, Shan was seen like such the control player in the pre-merge. And you get to the merge, and I don't know that you want to be the person who's like, you know, had your neck out a little bit. I think you the better position is to be in the position that Cassie is in, as long as she doesn't push it too much to try and become as much of a control player as seemingly Carla and James seem. So, I think she's pushing a little bit too much here for control that ultimately doesn't really matter.
What would be your rating here?
I'll give her like maybe like a 5. Is it fair? Yeah.
I think a 5 is fair. I'm going to go with a 4 for Cassidy. For the reason I said before, I didn't love how she handled the switch to Gio. And then also just like, you know, I was concerned about this last week as well, where it's like, man, she really seems to have an issue with Gio, like a social issue with Gio. That's not necessarily great forecasting for future social connections. And then in this episode, we see Ryan actively throw a challenge in order to get her out, trying to orchestrate this massive like gotcha moment on her. Like this,
that's bad.
Felt like there was a lot of bad blood between Ryan, Gio, and Cassidy. I don't know where it came from, but clearly, you know, at least in this tribe with these people, something was not working. And so I'm definitely a little skeptical of her social game moving forward, but we will see. Sometimes, you know, sometimes there are just, you know, specific things with specific people, but we will have to wait and see on that one. That leaves us, of course, with James and Carla. I don't really have a lot to separate the two of them at the moment. I think that we're seeing more of Carla's perspective, but they seem to be operating in lockstep and both doing very well. I think for the most part, the thing that I would separate out here is that Carla's the one that gets Gio to read the advantage in front of her, which is great. At the same time, James is the one that Cassidy goes to be like, can we trust Carla for sure? So I think they both have little bits of legs up on each person. Overall, I would say the more valuable connection is the one with Cassidy, considering their vote out Gio. So maybe even give James a little bit of a leg up there over Carla in that sense. For me, though, they're both at around a 7. Again, I didn't love the decision to vote out Lindsay last week. I feel like it has come back to bite them a little bit here, where they now have to blindside Ryan. And coming into a merge, is Ryan going to stay loyal to a group that just blindsided him? That includes Cassidy, that he clearly doesn't like very much. It's not the best place to be necessarily, but I do feel good about them both socially. I feel like they've got good instincts for the most part. And I think that I'm looking for them to be drivers in a merge situation. So I'm still pretty optimistic about both of them.
I really like Carla. Carla's probably the person I'm rooting for the most, but I think I would give the edge to James. Last week, I know they vote out Lindsay, but Lindsay also goes to James and is like, so like, is Carla good? Like, Carla is good. I think James might have a slightly stronger social game, even if, and I kind of feel like, I mean, this is unfair, I think, a little bit. I think Ryan will blame Carla more than he'll blame James.
Possible.
Which, you know, isn't exactly fair. See, my thought is to give James a 7 and Carla a 6. I think he might have just like the slight edge. So I'll do that just for the sake of being slightly different. And I've been so much nicer than you this whole time, giving everybody 1 point more. So I actually give someone 1 point less. And unfortunately, it's Carla, my favorite player. So Carla, if you're listening, I'm so sorry.
There you go. All right, let's move on then to the Baka tribe. We saw a bit from them here. This is another rough one.
I'm probably not going to go quite as scorched earth on Baca as I did on Coco, but there's still a lot here that needs to be talked about. I have to personally, I think, put Ellie at the bottom. Not only is she the one without an idol between her and Janine, but she is also the one who is going to tell Sammy about the idol without seemingly even permission from Janine. She is also, I think, probably the person that would be voted out if they were to go to a tribal. She's the person who is the most on the outs and also seemingly the most in the dark. She is the one that talks about how Gabler definitely can't use the idol, I believe. It seems like they're pinning a lot of the Dodo music on Ellie. That said, you know, Janine also, I think, makes a mistake at Advantage Island, loses her vote, which is also not good. She seems pretty lockstep with Ellie. She's just not getting a lot of as much of the confessionals about it. So I have them both pretty low in this episode overall. But Janine getting the idol at the very least is big positive energy over there. So for me, Ellie is going to be a 2. Bad episode for Ellie.
Yeah, I'd also give Ellie a 2. I feel bad. I had high hopes for Ellie coming into this season. But yeah, there's just many, but the telling Sammy thing and it's like not my information to tell feels so bad for many reasons, because A, it's like the wrong move to tell someone who they have the wrong read about Sammy, that they can trust Sammy. And then also it's like she's doing it in a way that's undermining Janine a little bit as well, that I think potentially could come back to Hunter, that could feel like a thing that gets stuck, you know, a little bit of like, why'd you tell Sammy? That's annoying. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know that we saw if there's any fallout from Sammy knowing and whether Janine knows that Sammy knows. But that just feels bad. Yeah, I think Ellie, I'll give her 2 as well. I think it's a pretty rough episode for Ellie.
Yeah. I then also have to put Janine pretty low here. She does get the idol, but again, I didn't love the decision to not seemingly not say that she was even going to bluff her vote or risk her vote. And even then, like, I don't know that I love her risking her vote at all. Given where she thinks she is on the tribe, I get why she would feel comfortable potentially doing it. But that's not where she is.
That's such a bad read. They think Gabler's on the outs, and then they could get rid of one of Owen or Sammy, who they're both sort of playing, but neither of them 100% trusts.
And here's the thing, too. It's like, even if you do think that you can get Gabler because he doesn't know that he can't play, you still need as many votes as possible so that you can split your votes here, right? If you think you have at least 3 votes, then at least you can split one of those 3, you know, elsewhere, or maybe you think you have 4 and you can split the 4 votes, 2 and 2, just in case he actually knows he can play it, or he realizes he can play it, or he decides to do it just in case. Like, that vote is still pretty important, even with the read that she has, in my opinion. So I didn't love the risking of it here, especially knowing that at least one other person was definitely or seemingly definitely risking it, and she didn't even try to bluff him off of it. It's not great. Not great stuff. All of the bad reads that applied to Ellie also applied to Janine. She did get an idol, though, and I think that's a pretty good thing. I give it.
I'd also give her a 3. I think the piece about not even really seemingly trying to work with Gabler as well, because this idea that's like, well, he hasn't read his thing. It's so that's a just like a little bit like, gosh, you have to think he might read his clue again before he goes. And it's also just doing pretty much exactly what, like, we just criticized what Carla and James seemingly have done to Ryan, which is that they have like burned him. And she's like, it's almost like they're planning to do that. It's like, we're totally removing Gabler from the situation, thinking we might get to vote him out, or if we realize he can and we'll vote somebody else out, we're still not working with him. Right. So it feels just like bad play. And I guess like there's this type, I don't really blame that. Like there's some people who you think you could never work with on a tribe. If she thinks like, you know, she never is going to work with Gabler, like, okay, what do you do? But it just seems to not be going great. I'll give a 3 as well.
Yes. I've also got Gabler pretty low. Not for anything that he's like necessarily doing in the moment, but just like, I have not forgotten episode 1. I have not forgotten the fact that like I just still don't see him winning this game. He does still have like
a guaranteed safety idol come the merge now. So if for that reason, I think I gave him a 2 last week. I'll bump him up to a 3 this week. I think it's fine, but I still just feel very bad about him as a player until he starts making moves on his own that aren't like dictated by Sammy. I'm going to feel the same about Gaber.
I think I'm a little higher on Gaber, and I think this is like, you know, there's a little bit of a low bar for me in terms of like what I expected from Gaber. There's some people here, I was like, boy, like Lindsay, I was so excited for Lindsay. And unfortunately that didn't work out. Gaber, I was like not expecting much. And I actually think he's been a slightly better player than I thought. I to the point of like, you know, we never know what we don't see, but the fact that he does not sort of spill the beans about the idol, that he gave the bead and now he knows it. I feel like he comes off as a player who would, I think, be more reactionary than he actually is. He is reactionary with the people who he has conversations with, where you're supposed to be reactionary. You're supposed to show them that, like, oh, that sucks. That, like, she got that. That's so annoying. So I would rate him. What did you get? You gave him a 3?
3, yeah.
Yeah, I would actually maybe give him a 4, because I think I actually think, for what it's worth, I know I don't think he's the next to, if someone from Yellow is to go, I don't think he's the next to go.
Well, he's definitely not the next to go.
Well, he's definitely, I don't even think of another, like the next 2 to go. I think that he actually, yeah. I think being in a partnership with Sammy, I think it will actually work to him. Again, like winner, you know, ability. Again, I also don't know if I see it, but like longevity in the game, I could see it. And then there could be something that could, you know, come up. So I'll give him a 4. Again, that's not like super, that's not great, but you know, I think he's playing better than I expected.
I think that's fair. Between between Owen and Sammy, who do you have next up on the board?
I have Owen lower, just because I don't think Owen has a real relationship with anybody. Actually, I would give him the same as Gaber. I would give him a 4 as well, because I guess he gets in potentially with Janine and Ellie this episode, but also seems like they're not really sure. And I feel like potentially they think their relationship with Sammy is stronger than the relationship with Owen. To your point earlier, it feels like he is not showing enough to them to be able to, I think they could solidify something. And I feel like that's where the crux of this, like this tribe could be. And it's really Owen's lack of making that work, I think, that's not working. I guess he does try this episode. He does say like, I could blow up the whole thing. But it doesn't feel like that was reciprocated that much from the other, from the women. So I'm going to give him a 4 as well.
Yeah, I think I think if I'm coming up with a reason for why he would be hesitant, like maybe he's just trying to, he's waiting until they actually have to go to tribal to make That's any fair. Kind of move, right? And at which point he has the dirt on Gabler and Sammy to go to Janine and Ellie and rat them out. But that to me just indicates that he is in a weak social position where he doesn't trust that he would be able to have them. And waiting until the last minute like that, like, could backfire too, especially if you haven't created those social bonds. Like, why have you waited? Why have you kept this information to yourself for so long? And if they've spent so much time trusting Sammy, he tries to go to them with the information last minute, they might just go straight to Sammy. He might be able to out-talk you because he's had that relationship, and now you're in trouble. So I agree. I think that I had been feeling good about Owen as somebody who is riding the middle, but I don't like riding the middle if you're like actually solo alone in the middle. Right, I want you to be riding the middle because you're actually in both sides, not because you just happen to be on the outside of 2 different groups.
Sammy didn't tell Owen about the beads, told Gaber about the beads, and Ellen Jean didn't want to tell Owen about the beads and had to tell him. So I feel like that's it's rough out there in the middle. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think overall I would agree with your 4 here for Owen. I think this was not the best episode for him. And that leaves Sammy up at the top. I've, again, been pretty conservative with my ratings for Sammy, and it feels weird to move up on him right before a merge where I do think that those concerns might come into play. So, you know, this might be a situation where I was like, you know, keeping my vote low, and then right before it actually comes into play, I go a little higher. But at the end of the day, this was a great episode for him. I think it just proves that he has been in control of this tribe from the, you know, from the second he flipped on Ellie, essentially. The fact that Ellie tells him it's idol, the fact that they trust him more than Owen, the fact that he has Gabler on lock. The only, you know, knock to his game, I think, is that Owen does seem to want to work with Ellie and Janine over him. and Agreed. Gabler, but at that point, it doesn't even matter because Janine's lost her vote. But I think overall, I think, you know, and maybe a little bit of this is making up for lost time, but I do have to give him a 7 here. I think that he has played this tribe very well. He made it all the way to the merge with two people that he's been trying to get out, thinking that they are completely can trust him. I mean, it's the same thing Carla did with Gio and Ryan, right? Again, though, I have a lot more faith in Carla moving forward than I do Sammy. Just in terms of like a one episode bump, I'm gonna give him the 7. He probably deserved a couple of points in the previous episodes, so he's getting them here.
Well, I didn't rate him last week, so I don't have to give him any bumps. I'm going to give him the same as Carla, who I rated a 6, I believe, right? Yeah.
So, I think that's very fair, yeah.
Yeah, so I think in very similar situations going forward, that they're in the best position of a very chaotic group of people that, like, and you know, I think Carla probably has a little bit, like, she's closer to James than I think Sammy is with anybody, probably. I feel like Gabler potentially is more, Gabler's more of a person I would maybe want on my side moving forward. Cause I feel like James has a little bit of the, like, you know, I could cut the head off the snake at some point. Right.
Yeah.
Mentality. So yeah, I feel like I would rate them exactly even. So I would give Sammy a 6 cause I feel like they're, him and Carla are in very similar positions, and I can see the pros of having James as your like closest ally heading into this. I can see the pros to having Gabler as your closest ally heading into this. So, yeah.
All right. That is Baka. Let's finally move on to the Vessi tribe, which we really got very little from them. For this one, I think I'll just start with Jesse because he's the only one we really saw much of.
Yeah.
I do think, again, risking the vote, not even saying you were going to it beforehand to try to bluff other people off of it, didn't love it. The fact that he loses the vote, not great. The fact that he opens it in front of his whole tribe, again, I didn't love. Now, maybe he can trust them, but maybe he can't, right? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that he thinks that he's in a better position, I think, than he realizes. I don't think he's in as good a position as he realizes. Yeah.
And losing his vote here could have been devastating to his game if they had gone to tribal one more time before Emerge. And maybe that's why him and Janine risk their votes, because they are anticipating Emerge. But I don't think you can anticipate Emerge at 13. You know, just because it's been done the last two seasons doesn't mean that's what they're going to do again. They have obviously changed a couple of things. And if you're banking on that, risking your vote, if they had gone to tribal here, I think he is close to a goner, unless we're missing something that we haven't seen in the episodes. Because Cody has the idol, he now doesn't have his vote. Noelle doesn't even have to play her steal a vote anymore. He's just locked in trouble there.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Jesse is the one that I don't understand why he lost the vote at all. I at least can see Janine that she like has an idol in her back pocket. That's like, yeah, I lose my vote, but I can play my idol. Mm-hmm. You know, I really, even if it's the merge, I think that's bad as well to think like I'm risking my vote for that reason, because now you're heading again, these like we talked about earlier about that vote with voting out Lindsay, this idea of like you didn't get to solidify your trust with each other. Jesse's going to be in that same situation at the next vote. And he doesn't get to like prove his allegiance again, because he's not going to have a vote. So yeah, this is pretty bad. And I think probably the worst episode for him. I mean, I think voting on NECA was not the right call as well. I would agree with you there. But yeah, I was so high on Jesse to start, and I feel like it's slowly been a little bit of a downward trend. Jesse's the other person along with Carla I feel like I'm like the most excited to watch moving forward. So I'm hoping he can bounce back, but I don't think this was a strong episode. So I think I'll go down to a 4, I think.
I was thinking about a 4. I think the reason I'm going to go with a 5 for Jesse are things a little bit more outside of the episode, like the fact that we are probably heading into a merge. So we probably don't have to worry about the bad situation he was in on his tribe. Considering we are going into a merge, I feel good about Vessi as a whole. Feel like they could be pretty cohesive together. I think he's going to get a little bit of a bump from that. I also just still feel like he has a good social game. I still like there's something, and I could be wrong, but whenever I see him on the screen, whenever I see him interacting with people, I just feel like seems like he'd be easy to get along with. Like when he got to Advantage Island and he was like, oh man, I feel like I just invited you all to like a crappy party. I was just like, yeah, like he seems to have a way with people that at least viewing it from on the TV seems like he would be good at it. So I feel like I have faith in him as a social player coming into a merge situation. Maybe that's misplaced optimism or confidence, but that's going to also, I think, help me get up to the five.
I could see the five too, because there has to be a reason why he thinks he can risk his vote. And and in my head, I think that he thinks that he has a stronger bond with the people on his tribe, but maybe he just actually does, right? Like again, we didn't see anything from this episode. So if he's, good with, Cody, and then he thinks whichever one of Dwight and Noelle he has a better relationship, he's going to be able to convince them to vote out the other. Or he even thinks that this feels like something that could happen, that they're like, I think we could vote out Cody and make sure he doesn't use his idol, right? Like that feels possible as well, that maybe he really does have these really good bonds, that it was worth it to risk his vote because it didn't really matter.
Yeah. For the rest of this tribe, to be honest, I have no real way of distinguishing, given that they are heading into a merge. I think like Cody is the person I am most skeptical of in the game, but he is also the person with the best advantage. He has the idol. Noelle has the steal a vote. Them as a tribe should be so good. They're the only tribe of four here that has all of their votes. Nobody's lost a vote. Jesse did lose the vote. I forgot. It's the Baka tribe that has all their votes. Or no, it's the Coco tribe. The blue tribe that has all their votes. But they have a steal a vote, which means that they can take Jesse's vote back.
Yeah.
And more so, right?
That's right.
By taking away somebody else's vote. And I think they're the most cohesive. So I think they should have a good amount of leverage coming into a merge, even if it is like a half and half or whatever the case may be. They should be in a decent place, especially if if they do get split up in like a, you won the challenge, but now you have to vote each other out, which I don't think will happen. But if it's like, okay, half of them have to vote each other out, I believe Noelle can still pass along that steal a vote to make sure that they maintain a majority in whatever situation they end up in. I think that they should be okay. But I also don't have a good way of distinguishing like who's going to come out on top of all of this. So there was nothing in the episode to like point out, like Sammy, I thought had a great episode in that, Ellie told him about the idol. Carla and James both showed that they were on top of the tribe yet again, dictated a vote. So they got the bumps up to sevens, but I have no reason to bump anybody up to a seven here. I'm just going to give them all sixes.
All sixes?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know if I could give any of them sixes. I'm like more like in the like five, and Cody's a four because he's did the negotiating that didn't go well. I feel like he's not maybe. I don't have the most faith. I would give Dwight and Noelle fives and give a Cody a four, I think.
There you go. That's you've finally.
I know. Now I'm meaner than
darkness.
That's right. I don't like it. I love Cody as a kid. I love every. I like all of them really. And I agree with you that I think that they're. I think it's true that the same argument that I am giving that like I think they could be really cohesive, and just be a foursome that works with one of the some people from the, whether it's like a full other tribe to go after another tribe or bits and pieces from both. They sort of like assemble this weird, like people from all three tribes. I also could kind of see them again. I've said this a lot, that like as the sort of like most cohesive group, it's the one that the others look at and go like, wait a second, hold on. I know we're all trying to like fight each other, but maybe we should go look over there at that thing. That's like, look, they all look pretty happy and they're vibing and Cody's going to be like back flipping off a rock or something. So I don't know. That's the only reason I worry, and maybe don't bump them up a little bit as high as you have the rest of them.
Well, there you go. That's what we've got for the Survivor Stockwatch. Hopefully, moving forward into a merge, the Stockwatch is a podcast that just gets better as the season goes, because we won't have to deal with whole tribes that we don't see in episodes quite as much. So that'll be good. We'll have fun with that. In the meantime, I'm excited for the merge. I'm hopeful that the merge twist, whatever it might be, is not worse than what we had before.
Yeah, gosh, it can't be, right? Because they're not doing this. They're not doing the hourglass twist. That's confirmed, right?
I believe so.
I also really hated the thing where it was like, you haven't earned your merge buff yet. So it's like, yeah, but you're clearly all just merge. Like, what does it mean to earn your merge buff? Sure, whatever. Fine. So yeah, it looks like a twist coming. Hopefully it doesn't impact, you know, I just want them all to know the rules and they all understand it and it's not weird. And, you know, some people think they win immunity and they actually don't.
Yeah. It's a low bar to clear, but if we can be better than the previous two seasons, we'll be in a slightly okay place, maybe.
Well, we shall see. And a 13, right? 5-4-4.
Yeah, I imagine somebody will be sitting out, as per usual, and they will probably have something to do.
Yes.
Just hopefully won't be an hourglass.
That was confirmed. No, it's done. And they only had two hourglasses, and they both got smashed. So if nobody smashed them last year, they could have would have kept doing this twist.
Maybe that's why knowledge is power keeps coming into play, because it never has been used successfully.
That's right. Yeah.
As soon as you use it successfully once, it's done.
No more. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's what we've got for you this week then. Grace, anything else you wanted to bring up from the episode?
No. It was very fun chatting about Survivor. Even an episode where I felt like as I'm watching, like, not much here. You can end up chatting for like more than an hour about all of this stuff. So very fun. I've been enjoying the season. I think this is another one where pretty much if anybody goes, I'm set. Like, even if I rated some people low, I still seemingly, I pretty much like everybody. I think I like everybody. I think that they're interesting characters, which I think is the real strength of this era of Survivor, which is why it's annoying sometimes when it's like, that twist is so silly, because you have all these great players and interesting characters on my TV. So very fun to chat about and rate them. And apologies to any of them who are listening and I rated them all.
Yes, as always. I think the thing that I do like about the twists and the advantages is that even in a slower episode, it does, for somebody like me, it gives me like lots of things to think about and talk about on a podcast and explore. So that's kind of fun, even though I do miss those longer episodes where we were able to dig into character a bit more.
It Rob? I think I saw him do a TikTok that he's like, I woke up in a cold sweat thinking about all the scenarios that could happen based on the advantages that are in the game. He's like, I couldn't stop thinking about what happens if all of these things happen.
That's an environment that I thrive in. I love that. Yeah. All right. Well, that's what we have for you. Of course, you can find me over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I'm watching these episodes live on Twitch with anybody that wants to watch with me. You can get reactions in the moment. It's very fun. There's a whole chat that you can watch with. So come and hang out doing that over on Twitch. Again, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. And all kinds of other stuff happening, you know? House of the Dragon coverage coming to a close here. Big Brother Deep Dive still coming out. You can find it all over on Twitter @ArmstrongTaryn. Make sure you check that out. Grace, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter @HiFromGrace. Got a lot of stuff happening, mostly in the TV world, also covering House of the Dragon, covering Interview with the Vampire. Shannon Gus and I are going to be chatting about The Crown, which I think is going to be very fun to chat with Shannon about, and covering movies each week. This week we're chatting Halloween Ends and Triangle of Sadness. So some fun fall movies. It's getting really busy, Taryn, at the movie theater.
I noticed. Big horror year.
Yeah, there's a lot of horror, spectacle movies, so like big action movies like Top Gun and like all the Marvel stuff. And then horror are like the two things that make money at the box office. I don't understand.
I'm into it.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. Here on Rob is a Podcast on the Twitch and YouTube channels. So we have Roll Call, a new board game show. Each month I'll get together with some Rob is a Podcast podcasters and personalities. We'll play some games. We played Settlers of Catan. We've played the Game of Thrones board game. And next Tuesday, October 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern, a few of us will be getting together, including Rob. We're going to play Clue, murder mystery for Halloween. So that should be very fun. Come join us on the Twitch, the Rap Twitch channel and the Rap YouTube page.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you. Thank you all so much for joining us here today. And I will see all of you next time.
Yeah, Taryn's back to give you deeds again. He's digging deep on Survivor to find you everything you need. So if your life is packed, let Taryn and his friends break down the episode beyond what the casual sees. Hey,
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.